A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Betsy, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning. Are you Irish? Isn't that what they say?
I don't know.
Top of the morning?
I've been watching shows on BBC.
Oh, yeah. So I do that a lot.
I feel more sophisticated.
Oh, well.
And I'm not saying I am more sophisticated. I'm just saying I feel more sophisticated.
I'm glad you cleared that up for all of us.
I've been drinking tea and saying top of the morning to people. I'm going to get a cane and a dapper little something.
Goodness.
Maybe a top hat. A bowler hat?
Uh-huh.
I think I'd look pretty good in a bowler hat.
Oh, okay.
Look pretty good with a cane, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, top of the morning to everybody out there listening. And we've got really good stuff in store today.
We do. It's an exciting
show
today.
Not that any other week isn't exciting and fun and riveting. But this week is just like every other week.
Well,
really awesome. Right?
Yes. This week actually has a little bit of a... Why are you slurping?
Sipping my tea. I'm sipping because that's what sophisticated people do.
That sounded like a slurp, not a sip. Oh. Sips are silent.
Oh.
You were slurping.
Okay.
Anyway.
Maybe I'm not as sophisticated as I anticipated.
Clearly not. Anyway, moving on. We have one thing that we want to talk about at the end of the show, the very last segment, because it is the one tool every single person should have.
Definitely. We'll tell you what it is in a little bit. We're also going to be in the studio with Abe Pastor from Port City Paints in Muskegon about some history of Port City Paints, as well as some stories of some happenings in their building that kind of make the hair on the back of your neck rise a little
bit. Yeah, apparently they're not just stories. They might actually have some reality to them. But let's talk about something else first. Let's talk about the massive amount of work we've been doing building things for home shows,
right,
and wood
building
shows.
Building booths and displays.
Right. And the number of times we have had to run to the store to buy screws because the screws that we currently have are not the right size, they don't have the right head, whatever it may be.
Or we hate the ones we're working with and I'm getting crabby.
You
right?
Crabby?
Yeah,
no.
Once in a while. No, so first off, we're going to make kind of two parts out of this segment. The first part is kind of just a throwaway point, but maybe not.
Okay.
We always talk about having the right stuff on hand.
Yeah.
Right? That's so important when you start a paint project. You don't want to get into the middle of it and then have to run out and get stuff.
Right.
The same thing is true all throughout the house with any project we work on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just need to go and stock up on certain things and just have them ready to go for that time down the road that you're not even anticipating yet when you need them.
Right.
And one of those things are screws. And people don't think about that.
No.
But it is a huge thing that will definitely pay off in the long run if you go and just get a little collection of different types of screws and just have them on hand ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Drywall screws work great if you're looking for one screw that will work for a lot of different situations or applications inside. Get some different sizes and just have them stored and ready to go.
Right. Make sure you have some exterior grade screws as well, because those you're going to want for any little project that comes up outside. You don't want to use the drywall screws for that.
Right. So get those screws together, different sizes, interior, exterior,
right,
and then get a little storage bin that you can carry with you, a little case.
Right.
So that's the simple point. Now let's get to the bigger point, because if you go to implement this point, you're going to run into a conundrum. You're going to be standing in the aisle looking at all these different boxes.
Thousands.
And there's all these different types of heads that you can buy. With all of these options, which one is best?
The first screws were actually all flat screws.
And it goes back a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
Like wood screws had the flat slot in them. And then, you know, as we all know from working with them, your screwdriver slips out, and the more you put pressure on it, the more torque you want out of it, the more it slips out.
Damaged, and it's just not fun to work with. Well, eventually a solution came about in 1908 with screws with a square hole. That square shape allowed the driver to make secure contact with the screw.
Yeah, so you didn't have the screwdriver slipping out.
Exactly. It drove it in much easier, much more torque could be used, didn't slip out, didn't damage things. But when the assembly line came out, Henry Ford's assembly line, and we're making all kinds of cars, all of a sudden that became a problem because right. the automated screwdrivers that they used on early assembly lines mm-hmm. would actually drive it in with too much torque. And then right. they would have problems. They needed something that would actually cam out
right.
or slip out of the drive. Mm-hmm. So in the 1930s, Henry Phillips comes out with an idea. Now, it wasn't his invention. He actually bought the idea or the concept from a friend who right. couldn't market it.
Uh-huh.
Henry Phillips had this concept of how he was going to market this right. new screw,
yeah.
and he did it spectacularly. And so we end up with the Phillips head screw, mm-hmm. which is actually designed to slip out under too much torque and not drive the screw too far and not damage the automated screwdrivers that they're using.
Right. It was a great thing for Henry Ford because it has that nice point to it, which makes the screwdriver slip right into the slot. And
right.
has
it those, centers
yeah,
easily.
It has those nice outward curved blades on it. So everything works really smoothly. And again, it cams out and you don't damage either the thing that you're making or the screwdriver that you're using.
Right. Then in the early 70s, late 60s, mm-hmm. the equipment changed and became self-limiting.
Right.
At that point, the slipping out or the camming out mm-hmm. was more of a pain in the neck.
Right.
And they wanted
yep.
something that could drive without doing that. And the star drive screw or the Torx screw came about.
Yeah. And that was actually used as a security screw for a lot of different things. Like
because nobody had the equipment
right.
to loosen
well,
them.
Well, the early Macs, so that you couldn't take it all apart.
Don't
and
open this box.
Yeah.
We're
going
to put these special screws on there and nobody knows how to open it.
Right. Because no one had the appropriate screwdriver
right.
to do it.
The stalls in bathrooms are usually screwed on
yeah.
with some type
yep.
of these screws.
Right.
Because we all know everybody wants to take those apart when we're in there.
Sure.
That's
they
what
do.
I want to handle is bathroom Ugh. Stalls in a public restroom.
Gross.
But anyway, this star drive screw provided much better grip on the screw.
Yeah.
Much better torque was allowed, and there was no slipping out or camming out at all.
Right.
So, which one's better for you? A lot of it's personal preference. But a lot of us have never tried some of these, you know, the mm-hmm. square drive, which is older than the Phillips.
Right.
Or the Torx screws, which are newer. And the thing is, the Phillips screws, the fact that they were made to cam out was new to me. But
yeah.
I certainly understood it the minute I read it,
mm-hmm.
because that is my biggest frustration with
well,
those.
Well, how many of us haven't had that happen? We keep pushing and pushing because we want it to go in further, and then we end up stripping the screw, and then we can't get it back out.
Right. It's a real pain in the neck.
Yep.
So you and I, back to our projects that we've worked on, we ended up going to the square drive screws and the star drive screws,
yeah.
the Torx screws.
Yep.
And both of those significantly outperform the Phillips head screws.
Absolutely.
So from our point of view, we'd go with one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, the star drive seems to have the absolute least amount of problems
mm-hmm.
or opportunity for failure. So in my own home, that's what I'm buying. If I was doing a deck, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd get the star drive screws, the Torx screws
mm-hmm.
in an exterior grade
right.
and just go to town because you're not going to have the failure that you're going to have with the Phillips head.
Right. Now, just remember, if you do venture into this realm of other types of screws, most of us have the flathead and the Phillips head screwdrivers. A lot of people don't have the square or the Torx, so make sure that you're getting the appropriate bits and the
yes.
appropriate screwdrivers.
Otherwise, all of this information is no longer valuable.
Yep. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to discuss the history of Port City Paints and some ghost stories that might not actually just be stories. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And we are in the studio with Abe Pastour, which is really fun to say.
You, the look on your face when you say that is just very, I don't
it's
even
very
know.
French, right, Abe?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Oh, you are wrong.
Abe works in our Port City Paint store in Muskegon.
Yeah.
What's your title there, Abe?
Sir.
Oh, sir. This is going to be a good interview.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Abe works with us. How long have we... Well, I guess that's what we're going to get into.
Sure.
How long
yes.
we've all worked together. But I've known Abe for a while, and I've read your last name multiple times.
And never had a clue how to pronounce it?
I did not know how to pronounce it. But I do now.
But you do now.
Pastour. right? Something
yes,
like that.
If only the listeners could see your hand motions when you did that.
Well, that's how it works. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Really Abe not is... that complicated.
No, you got to get it. For me, names and stuff are really complicated.
Yeah, we're
And
aware.
Pronunciation and speech.
Yeah, talking is hard.
All of those things.
Anyway,
we want to talk about Port City Paints. We did a segment. Oh, man, I don't remember how long ago. A while back where we did the history of Repcolite, you know, and where we came from and how we got started and all of that. And Abe got in touch with me at some point not too long ago. And we're trying to get you on for another segment about a very cool project that you've worked on. And Abe made the deal with me that he'll come on and talk about that one.
If
he can come on and talk about the history of Port City Paints.
That's how I work.
So Abe's here to do that.
It does make sense because... Repcolite and Port City Paints. Port City Paints is a part of Repcolite now. But a lot of people, when we sign off at the end, we say Repcolite or Port City Paints, and people don't understand why. So listen carefully, because all will be explained.
That's right. Abe, it's all up to you now. You're carrying the show.
It is.
So how does
we
it
could
get,
be in trouble.
How did it get started?
How did it get started?
Yeah, Port City Paints. Let's start with
it
that.
It was started by a gentleman by name of Harry Inman. In 1936.
So you guys predate us by 10 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, we do.
So you were going in Muskegon 10 years before Repcolite even started.
Yes. Yes, sir. And he ran it by himself for a couple years. And then in 1938, Lee Strong Sr. partnered up with him. And Lee Strong Sr. means something to me because... Lee Strong Jr. is the man who hired me at Port City Paints. His son
hired you. How long ago was that? That was probably not near 1938.
It's close. It feels like some days. 1993.
Okay. Well, that was still a while ago.
Yes.
I mean, I was 20 plus years ago.
25.
Oh. 25 years
ago. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So you've been doing paint for... What were you doing before that?
I was in high school. I actually started the summer between my junior and senior year of high school.
Okay.
And I've known Roy.
Roy
Spencer.
He's currently the manager there.
Yes, sir.
I say currently because we're considering letting him go. No, I'm joking. That's a joke.
He's getting old.
He is old. And I don't know if he would take that. He would take that as a joke,
yes,
right?
He would.
As long as he understood it was
he
a
would.
Joke. Roy is
Surprise,
a
Roy.
Paul. He could really hurt me if he wanted to. So let's make sure he understands that
he
that's a
but
joke.
But he's also very Santa Clausish.
He is.
He is. That's why Roy is so very lovable.
It's a great store.
Yeah, it
is. So 1938, you said, Lee Strong Sr. comes on the scene.
Yes, sir.
And becomes a partner.
Yes, sir.
And then where do we go from there?
Them two ran it together until roughly... 1960. In that time, they had started at the end of Terrace Street in Muskegon, which we looked up the address on Google Maps, and it doesn't even exist anymore. It's gone.
Okay. Is it because of anything they did that
it's
gone?
Just because they put in a road, and that building's gone.
Okay,
and in 1957 is when they actually moved to the location where we're at now.
Okay.
And then in 1960, that's
And where is that?
1259th Street.
So... Right in the middle of where? I mean, because we had that. We were just at a home show in Grand Rapids, and a lot of people, well, where exactly is that? So I'd give them the address.
Yes.
But then they'd still look at me.
It is across Shoreline Drive from Heritage Landing, where they do concerts and whatnot. You can see Muskegon Lake from our front door.
What did the building used to be? I forget.
I was going to ask that, because the building looks way older than...
The building, 60s. The best we can guess, is from the late 1800s.
Okay.
We know for sure on the first and second floor it was a pattern shop. It was called Muskegon Pattern Works.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know a fact on the third floor, but we've heard numerous rumors that a chocolatier had the third floor.
Ooh.
That's like super fun.
Yeah.
Like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory kind of a thing?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Willy Wonka was there.
Willy Wonka was there.
Are there Oompa Loompas? Like residuals?
We'll just put you
like
up there.
Hangers on? Yeah, I could be.
You can hear them sometimes.
Well, I do want to ask about that because, and I'm going to let you go with your other stuff for a little bit, but there are stories of strange things happening in that building.
They're not stories.
Okay.
They're
real.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yes.
So there was a chocolatier possibly on the third floor.
Yes, sir.
And what, a pattern?
Muskegon Pattern Works, like metal pattern working type of thing.
And then you guys moved in
and
the 50s.
And then we moved in 1957.
And did you have just the first floor then, or did everybody else move out?
They had the entire building at that point.
And go into the, because you guys were a manufacturer. That's important to understand. You weren't just a retailer. So Repco Light and Port City Paints were quite similar in that regard.
We were, the best way to describe it was friendly competition for a lot of years. We shared raw materials, cans, pigments, all that sort of thing for a number of years.
We just shuttle them back and forth as necessary?
They would order, Port City and Repco Light together would order a truckload of pigment, and we would want half of it, and Repco Light would want half of it. So then they would deliver it one place to the other, and then the other folks would come get their half.
And that went on for a while, quite a while.
As long as I can remember.
All right.
Now, was it always called Port City Paints? Because, like, Repco Light in the very beginning was not called Repco Light.
It was Resselman Paint Company.
Right.
Dutch Mill Paints. All kinds of things.
Port City always Port City, or was it something else?
It was originally called Muskegon Paint and Varnish.
That's a mouthful.
We don't know when exactly it transferred to be Port City Paints, but we have old ads from the 50s that show the Port City label that we all know and love, and it says Port City Line, manufactured by Muskegon Paint and Varnish.
Okay.
Okay.
The ads.
So it was initially a line of paints.
Yes. Yep.
And at some point it became
Port City Paints, but we can't figure out when exactly it just became Port City and the Muskegon Paint and Varnish went away.
All right. So what kind of products did you guys make back then? I mean, did you make a full line of everything, interior, exterior?
Yes. Yep. We made interior, exterior, industrial. One thing that we did a little different was we didn't make different grades of paint. We didn't make a high end and a low end and a medium. We just made one type of paint, the best we knew how. And to this day, you can still purchase them because when Repco Light bought out Port City, they still manufacture not all, but a number of the Port City products that we had back then.
Did we reformulate anything? Do you know?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So
not to my knowledge.
Where did you guys, I mean, did you have, I know Repco Light had people who had a background, the founders had a background in chemistry of some sort, right? It was kind of a hobby, at least. Is that where this happened for you guys, too?
I guess I don't have an answer to that. I don't know
come
where.
Well, Abe, you just make something up.
Yes.
The Oompa Loompas played a role in the manufacture. You heard it here first. We're in the studio talking to Abe Pastor from Port City Paints in Muskegon. And you mentioned just a few minutes ago that Repco Light bought Port City Paints. Let's talk about that. When did that take place?
That happened in 2007.
2007.
July 1st of 2007.
Well, that was not too terribly long ago then.
No, I was going to say, I thought it was about 10 years ago.
11 to be exact.
Because I know how to do math.
And I happen to know that because my son is also 11, and that's how I can remember that.
I think that's cheating, Abe.
It is.
So all of you guys came over.
Yes.
And the location stayed the same.
Everything.
But we quit producing paint at your location.
Yes.
Did that happen right away?
It did.
Okay.
It did. To the best of my knowledge, the way it went down was Dan Altina was talking with Roy and Jerry, the owners at that time, about consolidating some products, sharing manufacturing, and it just wasn't – the logistics were not working out. And they were sitting at lunch trying to figure it out, and it wasn't working, and Dan just says, how about I just buy you guys?
Well, then, that's one
that's
way to go
story
about
I've
it.
Heard of
it.
All right. Well, it's a good one.
Yes.
I like that. We're in the studio with Abe Pastor from Port City Paints in Muskegon, part of the Repco Light, what would we call it,
a family
of paint stores. We also have Snyder Paints in Goshen, Indiana.
If anyone
for anybody
is
who wants
down
a road
there.
Trip.
Yeah. Right.
And we're running out of time on this segment. I do want to talk about some crazy ghost type stories that we've all heard about your building.
They're not stories.
Yeah. Do you have time to hang with us?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we are back in the studio with Abe Pastor. He's from our Port City Paint Store Repcolite owns Port City Paints, but we like their name so much we let them keep it. Plus, you know, it kind of identifies you guys up there in Muskegon.
Well,
so.
And yes. As Abe explained in the last segment, you guys were founded in 1936.
10 years before Repcolite.
Yeah, so for us to change their name on a whim.
Right, it's kind of like they have seniority.
It's not going to happen, but it's not saying that it is going to happen.
Right. That's they got above, grandfathered in,
yeah,
so.
It's above our pay grade to even talk about that decision, so let's just move on.
And yeah. We did find that nobody in Muskegon knew what a Repcolite was 11
well,
years ago.
You know how.
Well.
It is. I've told that story, but I had an uncle, my wife's uncle, who thought it was something else. And he was so shocked at a party. He just wanted to talk to me. What kind of lights do you make? Are they for doctors? What are you talking to? Oh, my goodness. I figured out what he thought we were. We don't do
wow.
that. No, we make paint.
Okay, can we get on to Abe's stories?
Please, let's do that. Because
this is going down a trail.
Once I opened my mouth, I didn't know how to...
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Abe,
yes,
not
ma'am.
Too terribly long ago, Roy was kind enough to take me on a tour of your building.
And Roy's the manager at Port City Paints right now.
Yes. And I have to tell you, it's a little creepy, to say the least. And then he starts telling me the things that go on,
well,
and
gotta,
I was even
gotta,
more creeped out.
You got to come on. You got to clarify that. The store itself is really fun.
The store is fun.
It's super clean.
The main floor is not creepy.
No, and it's not creepy in a gross kind of a way.
No.
There's some great stories.
There
that they're not
couple.
Stories, you say.
They're not stories.
So tell us.
When you walk into the store on a Saturday morning, before anybody else is there, and you unlock the door and you're making the coffee, and somebody walks across the second floor and you're the only person there, that's not a story.
You've
that makes
heard
the
that?
Hair on the back
yes.
of the neck stand up.
It's,
you've literally heard somebody walk
yes.
across there, and there's then do you run up and look?
No.
So how do you know nobody's there?
Because I'm the only one there, and I unlock the door.
Oh. How do you know it's not like a squirrel or a raccoon or something?
It's a little bigger than that. It sounds like a human being walking across
so
the second floor.
You've run into that?
A couple of times. A
couple of times.
There was also a gentleman years ago that worked there. His name was Hubie, and he was a chain smoker.
Just Hubie?
Hubie,
was
yes.
he fun? He sounds like a
he
lot
was
of
before
fun.
Me.
Okay.
That's a
he
fun name.
I never met Hubie, but he was a chain smoker, from what I'm told. And you can sometimes go into the stairwell, walking up to the second floor, and somebody was just standing there smoking.
And we don't do that.
We
the-
don't do that in the
not
stores.
Anymore.
No.
Oh
or
goodness.
You walk back by the bathroom when you're the first guy there, and somebody's been back there smoking, and there's nobody else there.
What do you guys think of that? I mean, do you really think something
I don't
goofy's going on?
Think I know. There's something there. They leave us alone, so we leave them alone.
You should have one of those ghost paranormal investigative teams come.
Don't tell my wife that. She would love that.
Well, we do need one at 17th Street then, too, because...
So you're saying
crazy.
The 17th Street Repcolite has something funky, too?
There are stories. Like, you turn off all the lights in our plant... And all the doors are locked, and then you go back there a little while later, and you know who has come into the building and who has gone out, and all of a sudden you go back there and all the lights are on.
Oh, that is
How
weird.
How the heck did that
I
happen?
Worked, I had one experience with that in the store at 17th Street.
Was that not too long ago?
Not too long
when
ago.
When you flipped out on me and you're like, something is happening.
Well, I worked late, and I forget what I had to get done, but sitting in the office working. And everybody starts to trickle out. It was a Friday night, so everybody's trickling out. And finally, the store folks, you know, we're heading out, 6:15. All right. So they turn everything off. All the lights are off. It was a dark, it was wintertime,
mm-hmm.
fall.
Yeah.
And I'm working, and you hear, you know, some ducks kick on, and it sounds a little creepy, and I'm getting a little creeped out because I've heard some of the stories Betsy talked about. And as I'm working there, I keep telling myself, that's just ducks. You know, mm-hmm. that's just this, that's just that. And then I heard, you've heard people drop a box that has a bunch of metal
yes.
paint cans in it.
Yes.
And then a box with lids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that sounds like.
Yes.
It's like a bunch of little cymbals
mm-hmm.
crashing all
yes.
over the place.
Yes, it is.
That is the sound that just explodes from the back room. Crash, all this sound. Oh, my goodness, what's going on? So, I actually went to explore.
Because
but
you thought something fell over.
Well, I thought so. I thought there was a burglar in the building,
oh, okay.
and I thought I at least have to do due diligence and look. I am going to run really fast. And I go back there, and nothing has tipped over. there is nothing anywhere.
Yes.
I still don't know what that was.
Uh-huh.
But I went home right after that.
Yes, good plan. I had an event probably 6 months ago. I was working downstairs in the back, kind of by where our bathroom is. We have multiple floors, so I'm back there, and something hits the floor on the second floor. There's me, Dan, and Aaron working. They're both downstairs. There's nothing, nobody's upstairs. I went upstairs to look because it sounded like a gallon of paint hitting the floor.
Yes,
and you guys
check
do have storage up there, right?
Yes. So I go up to look. I walk through the second floor door. I'm walking across the second floor, which is pretty good size. Mm-hmm. I get about halfway across. There's the cigarette smoke.
Really?
I get all to the back corner where the noise came from. There's nothing.
Wow.
So I went back downstairs, explained to Dan and Aaron that Hubie was on the second floor,
and he went home
just be nice to him.
Yeah.
They would not go upstairs the rest of the day.
Gee, I can't imagine why. I don't think I would either.
So when you hire new people, Aaron, she's new, right?
Yes,
relatively
she is.
New.
Yeah,
like a year?
Not quite a year.
Not quite a
last
year.
Last June, I believe it was.
Another... She's got a paint background,
yes, she
let's
does.
Just say.
Yep.
So not new in that sense.
Mm-hmm. As does Dan.
How do they... Okay, and how new is he?
He's about a year and a half.
Okay. How do they take these stories, and how long is it before you guys kind of fill them in?
There is no filling in, because they're not stories.
Gotcha.
And their eyes get really big.
And tell that right before their first late night, right?
Yes.
And you guys are staying to close.
Yes. Yep. Right. Good luck.
Yeah, right. So right. Is it just that second floor that has... sounds, or does it, I mean, do they go all the way up?
Oh, it's the whole building. The whole building.
It's a cool building. People need to get out there just to, you know, shop in the store. It's, you guys have done a great job refurbishing that, the store, the showroom, and all of that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you just repainted it. It looks fantastic inside.
One of our ex-employees who retired, Roy's old partner, Jerry, when he come in when we had first done it a number of years ago, we hadn't done anything with the showroom in years.
Mm-hmm.
And he come in and just kind of looked around. Jerry was never a big guy for change.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of looked around and lipstick on a pig was the term he used.
It's a nice store. It's got that old-timey feel.
It does.
And we get tons of good reviews about the service that you guys provide.
We try our best.
Yeah. No, it's very good. We always hear good things and are always happy to send people there. What do you guys, I mean, just the last little bit that we've got here, talk our listeners through the kinds of things that we, you know, that you guys do in the store there. You do everything, stain matching, color matching.
Yes, anything you get at another RebcoLite, you get at Port City. We stain match, we walk you through projects. You guys had mentioned at the home show you got asked about kitchen cabinets a million times.
A million times.
And mm-hmm. we walk everybody through it just like they would get the service at any other RebcoLite store.
Right. Definitely need to check it out. They carry Benjamin Moore,
yes.
RebcoLite. You've also got some PPG.
Yes, sir, we do.
Yeah, you do a fair amount of that. And yeah, industrial contractors,
they've got
homeowners, do-it-yourselfers.
If you need a coating, they've got it.
And while you're waiting, maybe you can go upstairs and hang with Hubie. Right?
Yes. Or he'll find you.
Great.
Abe, thanks so much for taking time to be with
Anytime.
Us
Anytime. Thank you.
Now, the time is fast approaching, so don't stray too far from the radio. We asked you a question at the beginning. What is the one tool that everyone must have? Get your answer ready, because we're going to tell you what it is when we come back. Stay tuned.
You want to take your DIY skills up a rung? The RebcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, we're back, and we are going to talk about the one tool that every single person, man, woman, child, should have. Right?
Well, yes, and I'm guessing a lot of homes already have this tool.
Yeah, which
thankfully.
Makes this a little bit of a letdown. Because it'd be really fun to have, like, the one thing that everybody needs, and we would just create some run on
the
stores.
Well, I venture that this one tool has traveled further than any other tool.
It's probably traveled further than most.
Yeah.
It's incredibly popular.
Uh-huh.
You're going to know what it is very soon into this.
Yes.
But we've got some stories... That there are a few stories.
Just to prove how far it's traveled.
Right. There are a few stories in the world of tools that will illustrate the value of a particular item, quite like these.
Right.
Now, let's just start with December 11, 1972.
Yes.
All right. A team of three men, mm-hmm. Gene, Jack, and Ron.
Yes.
Arrive in a beautiful valley. Okay. Can you picture the setting?
Yes.
They arrive.
It has mountains.
Right. It's ringed with mountains. They're on the edge of the Sea of Serenity, which sounds amazing.
Sounds very calming.
Right. It's where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gene and Ron, they had Navy backgrounds.
Yeah.
And Jack was a scientist.
Right, because okay? You always need a scientist in your group.
You always got to have that. Sounds
yes.
like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were here on a mission to explore this region,
mm-hmm.
which to this day is still largely unexplored.
Yes.
So they're out there in the unknown, the wilds, I guess
yeah.
you would say. The whole thing started well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was going along
swimmingly.
Fairly well. But then a couple hours after their arrival. So really, it only went swimmingly for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But a few hours after their arrival, while mm-hmm. they were loading equipment into their little vehicle
mm-hmm.
that was going to drive yeah. them all over the place, Gene bumps the rear fender, their fender extension,
yeah.
with a hammer that was in one of the pockets on his pants,
mm-hmm.
on his uniform.
Right.
And it knocks that fender extension clean off. So
yeah.
there it goes. Now, ordinarily, on mm-hmm. an off-road vehicle, a missing fender isn't a big deal.
No, usually you can just keep going on and no worries about it. But in this instance, this potentially meant a failed mission. So it's something that it's critical to get fixed because this wasn't just any off-road vehicle.
Right.
This was an off-world vehicle.
Yes.
A lunar rover. And Gene and Jack and Ron were Gene Cernan, Jack Schmidt, and Ron Evans.
They were astronauts.
Huh.
And they were on the moon.
They were.
And the Sea of Serenity doesn't have any water, which was
no.
kind of a letdown. They brought their bath towels for no reason.
Right.
Anyway, the missing fender extension caused huge complications.
Yeah.
And like we said earlier, it threatened to completely derail the mission. With the fender extension missing, they talked about, you can go and read all of their transcripts of
mm-hmm.
them sending videos
yeah.
back. They talk about the rooster tail of dirt that went up behind them
yeah,
of the lunar dust.
Yeah, think those boats that go to Mackinac Island that have the giant plume of water behind them. That's what was happening with this rover. And the problem is moon dust is not like the dust we have here and things like that. It's more gritty. It has sharper
right. Wind
edges.
Wind doesn't wear it down. There's no water to wear it down. It's sharp.
Right.
It's coarse. It's heavy. It's thick.
Well, and hello gravity or lack thereof.
Right. So it just went everywhere. They said they had to stop every few minutes
yep.
just to dust off everything. Their visors would get covered with it. And it was so gritty and coarse that it actually scratched the visors
yeah.
when they're trying to clean it. It
That's
was
a bad
threatening
thing.
To damage and destroy everything. So Gene gets out and he decides he's going to fix it. So
right.
he pulls out this tool. Duct tape.
Yes.
There's actual video of him on the moon trying to duct tape the fender back
right.
on the lunar rover. The downside or the problem was that there was so much dust in
yeah.
the air, it would collect on the duct tape.
Right.
He would make it work,
mm-hmm.
and it would work for about 4 hours or so, and then it'd come off again.
Right.
So their first day out there was dramatically hampered by all of this dust.
Right.
So they returned to their lunar module
yes.
to rest for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to start again the next day if there's a solution. And that's when NASA, back home, Houston,
Houston, we have a problem. Well, and this is what always happens. Whenever there's a problem, when our astronauts are in space, back on Earth, they have to come up with a solution with just whatever might be up there with these guys already.
Right, because there isn't a Repcolite or Fort City Paints up there.
There is not.
Because paint would
that's
help.
That's too bad.
But, yeah, maybe next year.
Well, at least the duct tape we saw would help. So what NASA decides to do is they get out some laminated maps that the guys already have up there, and they duct tape them all together, and then they kind of fashion a fender out of these maps
right.
and duct tape, and they clamp all of that because the duct tape won't stick to the rover itself. It'll stick to the maps, not the rover. They clamp it on, and they can continue with the mission.
Right. So they radio all of that, all of those instructions
yep.
to the guys in the lunar module. They do it inside where it's dustless, or at least a relatively dust-free environment.
Right.
And get it set. And then, like Betsy said, they clamp it on the vehicle in place of that fender extension, and it worked for the rest of the mission.
Right. So, mission complete.
Thank you, duct tape.
Well, and that is not the only time that duct tape has been in space.
It's a lesser known one than the one you're going to talk about.
Well, yes, because let's face it, a lot of people, I think it was back in the 90s, saw the movie
Ron
Apollo
Howard,
13.
Opie from
yes.
Andy Griffith made Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon.
Right.
Don't remember the other gentleman. Bill Paxton? Yeah. I'm going out on a limb there.
We'll just
but we
roll
know the story
it.
Of Apollo 13, where there was right. an explosion of an oxygen tank and the astronauts were forced to move to the lunar module to save power that they needed for reentry, you know, back to Earth.
Right.
The problem was the lunar module was meant only for two people and for 36 hours, mm-hmm. not three people and 96 hours. So
right.
carbon dioxide built up rapidly and became life-threatening.
Right. So NASA, while, again, the guy slept, had to come up with something with all of the things the astronauts had on board that was going to scrub out the air and get rid of that CO2.
And now, they had square canisters or square scrubbers
yeah, mm-hmm.
from the command module.
Right.
But the problem was in the lunar module,
you have circular scrubbers.
Right. And so they had to find a way to make the two fit together,
right.
make the square peg fit in the round hole. And mm-hmm. amongst other things, duct tape played a huge role in the solution.
Yeah, so duct tape to the rescue. Once again, our astronauts are able to get back to Earth and everyone's safe and sound, and that's what we like.
And we were very interested to learn that duct tape is actually standard equipment on space
yeah.
missions
uh-huh.
since the days of Gemini.
Yeah, isn't that
so
crazy?
Of all the things, you know how they go over the list of things they're bringing mm-hmm. with a fine-tooth comb. Think about
right.
a hiker. A good hiker doesn't just randomly throw things in the backpack.
Right.
Everything that goes in is critical
mm-hmm.
because weight, all of that stuff matters so much. Space, everything needs to be conserved.
Right.
You know?
Well, you can only send so much stuff
so
up
much
to
stuff
space.
Into space. And yet duct tape makes the list from the days of Gemini all the way to now. Does it? Is it still on the list?
It absolutely is, and it became very critical this past August, the end of August 2018. Something that was flying around in space, whether it be a rock or space junk, hit the International Space Station in the Russia segment, and it blew a 2-millimeter hole in the side.
A 2-millimeter hole?
Yes. Now,
so a really tiny hole.
Well, that doesn't sound
that doesn't
like
sound
much.
Like a big deal.
Except when you're in space.
Oh, space. That's right.
And you only have 18 days to live. If you don't find the hole.
So then they had to search the whole thing for the hole?
They did. Mission Control called up and said, hey, we notice your pressure's dropping. You better go figure out. And they isolated it to this unit, and they did end up finding this particular hole in the side of
wow.
the space station.
So how does duct tape play into this?
Well, because first of all, some guy named Alex had his finger sticking in the hole, and the comment...
He's probably the guy who found it.
Well,
I know
that's
the solution,
entirely...
guys. I'm going to just do this.
That's entirely possible. The funny
I would have been
is...
complaining about how sore my finger was getting.
Well, the comment that was heard was, right now Alex has got his finger in that hole, and I don't think that's the best remedy for it.
So what did they do? They duct tape Alex to the hole? Duct tape his finger
exactly.
there?
Not exactly. Epoxy and duct tape is how they fix that
okay,
hole.
Okay, well, that's maybe... You know, that's how NASA would do it.
Right.
My
that's
solution
how astronauts
still would have
do
worked.
It.
I would have duct taped my hand there.
That does not surprise me.
Oh, but then
the
I would
least.
Have to go to the bathroom at some point. And there I am, saving the space station by being duct taped to the hole.
Right.
I don't think I want to do that. Well,
no.
We'll just use the epoxy that the astronauts used.
Yeah, it's a much
and
better
duct
plan,
tape.
I think.
Yeah. So duct tape. It's used everywhere. In space.
In space.
You can use it for anything. It is not necessarily... a permanent fix for anything.
Unless you happen to be my dad.
Right. But even then, it's normally not the
right.
permanent solution.
Right.
But it is a temporary fix for everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
So you've got to have a roll on hand. If
right.
it's good enough for astronauts, it's good enough for all of us.
Absolutely.
And that's all the time we've got. If you want to hear this episode or any of our past episodes, just head to repcolite.com.
And make sure you're checking us out on Facebook. You can keep up with where we are, like home shows and things like that. See what we're doing and make sure when we go to those things, you stop out and see us.
Right. And whatever you do today, make sure you make paint a part of it. Repcolite and Port City Paints are open until 3. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And while we cannot get you to the moon...
No.
We can sell you the tools that they would take when they go to the moon.
Yes.
And better yet, we can play some audio from Gene Cernan, the last man to stand on the moon.
Yep.
He's the Gene that we talked about in the beginning of this segment, and we've got an audio clip of him actually on the moon during that mission, and we're going to ride out with that. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening.
I was strolling on the moon one day in a merry, merry month of December.
Now, May.
May. When, much to my surprise, a pair of bunny eyes.
Are is this a neat way to travel. Isn't that great?